Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. In 1984, the band Foreigner released a song that has a desperate plea. It says, I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. I want to feel what love is. I know you can show me. This plea, this desire to know and feel what love is, resonates with us. We have been made to love. God created us for relationship, relationship with him and relationship with each other. But our rebellion against God has broken our relationship with him, and so has broken our understanding of what love is. We live in a world that has a very distorted understanding of what love is, because our connection with God, who is love, is broken. Let's take a moment to think about some of the ways love has become distorted in the world. One of the things that affects our understanding of something is our language. And in English, we only have one word for love. I know that's not the same for many other languages, but I'm speaking particularly of English here. In English, we use the word love to describe our love of chocolate, a love for a pet, love for family, and love for God, and so many other things. And yet the type of love and affection we have for these different things is very different. While I love to have chocolate when I want a snack, I wouldn't be willing to risk my life to save a bar of chocolate from danger. But I would be prepared to risk my life for my stepdaughter because I love her. Two very different ways of loving, yet we use the same language to describe it. Love is distorted in this world, and one way that this is obvious is the way that it's sometimes used to justify crime. We have crimes of passion that are often committed out of so-called love. Then there are crimes such as stalking, where the stalker claims to love the one they are stalking. Love is also used to justify someone trying to cover up the crimes of another. There are many cases where the excuse of love has been used to try to justify or explain away a crime. Love is also distorted in music. It seems no matter what genre of secular music you listen to, you can find some songs that distort the true meaning of love, often turning love into just a romantic feeling or sexual desire or something like that. So it's very clear that our world doesn't get it right most of the time when it talks about love. So it's hardly any wonder that Foreigner says, I want to know what love is. This is clearly not a new thing either. John wrote to the church in his time, trying to explain to them how they can know what love is. So let me read from 1 John 3, verse 16 to 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. So in that verse 16, he says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. The answer to Foreigner's plea is to look to Jesus. People look for love in so many different places, but the only place we will find what true love is by looking to God, because God is love. But how does looking to Jesus tell us what love is? Well, firstly, John is keen to point out that Jesus' life, and particularly to his sacrifice, that's a revelation of God's love for us and the effort he went for us. Later on in his letter, John explains to his readers that God is love, but at this point, John is explaining how God demonstrates his love for us. One of the things that is revealed about God's love through Jesus is that love is personal and intimate. Jesus' coming into the world demonstrates that love is personal. It is intimate. God could have remained far off and inaccessible to us, but instead he took on human form and came into the world. This enables us to connect with God in a much deeper, more intimate and personal way. We can relate to Jesus in a different way than we relate to the other two persons of the Trinity. In Jesus, we can see that God knows and understands what it is to be human. He knows the daily struggles we face. He has experienced the temptations that challenge us. He understands our joys and our sorrows, our strengths and our weaknesses. In Jesus, we see that God's love for us is personal and intimate. We know that God understands us because Jesus has lived a human life. I love the Message translation of John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14, because it really puts this truth into stark reality for me. It says this: "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood." When someone moves into a new neighbourhood, their perspective changes. They begin to understand the world through the lens of the place they live in. I've recently got new neighbours who moved in about a month ago, and it's really interesting to see them beginning to understand the area and see from the perspective of where we live. When Jesus took on flesh and moved into the neighbourhood, he empathised with us. He saw the world through human eyes, seeing from our perspective. So now, when we think of God, we cannot say he is distant or aloof, because Jesus proves God's love is intimate and personal. He moved into the neighbourhood. Another thing that Jesus reveals to us about love is that it is not exclusive. God's love is inclusive. It is for all people, and no one is excluded from God's love. Through his life, Jesus ministered to and showed love for all people, rich and poor, religious leader and social outcast, Jew and Gentile. He loved those that others had rejected, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinners. Jesus shows that God's love is not reserved for the super religious or seemingly saintly. God so loved the world that Jesus came and died for us so that we could be restored to relationship with God and have eternal life with him. No matter who you are or what you have or have not done, God loves you. Jesus chose to lay down his life for you. If you remember nothing else from today, then remember this: God loves you. Not just your neighbour or the person you admire, but you. And then, of course, in Jesus, it is revealed that love is sacrificial. Jesus had it all. In Philippians 2, Paul says that Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He could have ignored our plight, but his love for us is sacrificial. And so he made himself nothing, taking on human form and choosing to go to an agonizing and soul-wrenching death on the cross, taking our punishment and being cut off from God. This act of selfless love is what allows us to call God our Father, to be recognised as his children. Without Jesus, we would be cut off from God. Jesus chose to love us with such a sacrificial love that he took our place. This is what love is. This is the love that God loves us with. So we know what love is because Jesus reveals it to us. But Jesus didn't just come to reveal what love is. He also came as a model, an example of love, so that we, as his disciples, can also love with this personal and intimate, inclusive and sacrificial love. And this is a point that John is very keen for the church to know. He says, we know what love is because of Jesus, and then says, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Nothing too hard then. Now I want to remind us that John is talking to a group of people who had split over theological issues. And there was hatred and bitter enmity between these people. And God tells these people, these bitterly fighting people, lay down your life for each other. You see these people that you hate, you've got to risk your life for them. I mean, it's quite a big ask for us to be asked to lay down our lives for a friend. But to do it for an enemy, for someone we hate, that seems a bit too much. But we are to follow the example of Jesus. Jesus' love was so great that he laid down his life for us while we were still enemies of God. And so we too should be willing to risk our lives even for those we dislike as well. Now, obviously, unlike during John's time, we are unlikely to face a situation where we actually have to risk our own lives for someone. But John continues in his teaching saying, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. It's sometimes easy to talk of the theoretical, hypothetical situations and say, sure, I'd take a bullet for someone. We can say these things easily because we know that they are unlikely to happen. However, it is a lot harder to act on our words and give our time, talent, money, possessions, etc. to others. John tells us that we need to love with more than just words or speech. We are to love with actions and in truth. How are we loving one another in action? Do we actually take the time to ask one another if there is something we can do for each other? Are we willing to commit our time, talents, or treasure to love someone else? Or does our love for someone end once we leave the building on a Sunday afternoon? I'm reminded of what James says in his book. He has a very practical understanding of faith. In James chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, he says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you goes to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Both James and John say that our faith in God and our love for God and others should motivate us to act in love. If we merely love with words, then I'm not sure we love at all. Certainly not using the definition of love that we see in Jesus, that personal, intimate, inclusive and sacrificial love that he demonstrated by coming and dying in our place. So when we say with Foreigner, I want to know what love is, we can see that the answer is found in Jesus. Jesus reveals to us what love is. It is intimate and personal. It is inclusive. It is sacrificial. He also models for us how to love others, to be willing to love personally and intimately, inclusively and sacrificially, to love with actions and not just words. Do you know what love is? Do you love others with the love in the same way that Jesus modelled? Let's pray. Lord, we want to know what love is. Without knowing you, we have an empty space in our hearts, because only in you is true love found. And Lord, help us not just to know what love is for ourselves, but to model it to others. Jesus, you came and you modelled what love is, that personal, intimate, inclusive, sacrificial love that you showed when you came to earth, lived and ministered to people, and died in our place. And Lord, help us to love others with that love, to be willing to give of our time, our money, our talents, ourselves. And Lord, help us as we continue to trust in you, that we would be reflecting you and modelling your love to the world around us. In your name we pray. Amen.